Well, good morning, y'all. So, as we get older, I think eventually we begin to understand that our life is really a story, right? It's all the things that we do. It's the story of you. It's how you've lived your life, the choices that you've made, the paths that you have made a decision to go down, the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups and downs and twists and turns all make up the story of your life. And it's uniquely your story, right? Nobody else can live your story. It is yours to own, good or bad. And if I'm honest with you this morning, I would say that the thing that really scares me the most is coming to the end of my days and looking back at my story and not being happy with my story. Not being happy with the way that it ended up. And I have to tell you, that's probably my worst fear in life, because I think the odds are stacked up against us, and there's a higher probability that our story, the story of our life, could end up as a tragedy rather than a success in our eyes at that moment in time. And I'm going to clarify that. We hear the word tragedy being used in a couple of different ways, but this morning we're going to talk about the word tragedy as it's used in the literary sense as it relates to a story, your story. And some of you may remember way back in the dark ages when we took literature class, right? And this was probably on the final exam, which was the definition of tragedy. And tragedy is when the protagonist or hero of the story suffers extreme sorrow as a consequence of a grave error or bad decision that results in an unhappy or tragic end. That's what we're talking about this morning. I want to talk about tragedy this morning within the context of the story of your life, because what we're really talking about here is that you are the protagonist. You are the hero of your own story, right? And so simply put, the tragedy of your life is when you come to the end and you realize what it could have been, but it never really was. That the grave error or bad decision that got made is that you never did anything to take a hold of your own destiny and create for yourself a life of fulfillment and joy. I mean, it's a real sin when you miss the life that could have been and settle for a life that just is. And the measure of how great the tragedy is at the end of our lives becomes the distance between where you could imagine that your life could have been and where you really ended up. This distance is the tragedy we're talking about this morning. Look, I think we have this unique opportunity at this moment in time where we're coming out of this pandemic. And I think we have the opportunity to rewrite our story, the story of our lives, and take it from the tragedy that it almost was and lift it up and create a life of fulfillment that it can be. So this morning, we're going to talk about what it looks like to reboot your story. So if tragedy is the sin of how we don't want our story to end up, then let's not be a Debbie Downer today. So let's flip it on its end and talk about what does the opposite of that look like, right? What is the opposite of tragedy? What would happen if we could take that delta between what our life could have been, how it really ended up, and zero it out so that we actually do end up at the end of our days living a life that we always wanted to live, right? Is it possible? What's that look like? What kind of story would you have then? I'm going to suggest that a word that captures what that story looks like that has this brilliant outcome rather than a tragic one is the word genius. Now, when we typically think of genius, we think of Albert Einstein or even a Michael Jordan or Mozart or whatever. They're genius at their trades. But the word genius actually comes from a slightly different place. And if you go back to the root of the word, it actually refers to genius as being the essence of who you are. At your core, who are you? It's the essence of a person. And by this definition, it makes less sense to ask the question, is this person a genius? And instead, it's one of, what is your genius? What is your essence? It levels the playing field, right? It assumes we all have a genius. We all have this kind of essence at our core that makes us uniquely me. And I would argue that you find your genius when you figure out how God has wired you to be from the very beginning. The barometer of how successful we will be in eliminating the distance between what could have been and what is the extent to which you understand who you are, your essence, your genius, and embrace it and live it out every day and become the person that God created you to be. That's what we're talking about this morning. Because when that happens, you can create the kind of life that when you live that out, you're living your genius out every single day so that who you are and the way that you're living are in sync. I mean, that's a real problem, I think, for a lot of us. We have this dichotomy that we're living out, that we know we're somebody different than the life that we're living. And so to be able to sync those two things up are essential to creating that kind of life that we want to have. And so when you come to the end of the road and you look back at the story of your life, what do you think you'll see? Like if you stopped right now and said, today's my last day on earth, and you look back at the story that you've had to this point, is this the story that you want to end with? Will you see a tragedy of what could have been, or will you see a life that was well lived because it was lived out of pure genius? And I really do believe that our ending is determined by the choices that we begin to make and put into practice today. And from this moment on, how we choose to spend the rest of our days, either checked out and mindlessly going through our days, just letting life kind of happen, or are we living with intention and clarity and understand why it is we're even here? There's a little known verse in the Bible that's always intrigued me. And it's kind of an obscure verse, and it's in the middle of a talk by the Apostle Paul on something completely unrelated. But it's kind of funny the way he puts it. In Acts chapter 13, he says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he died. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed." Now, if there is anybody in the Bible that makes me feel better about my own messed up life, it is King David, right? I mean, that guy was a hot mess. He made a lot of tragic decisions. But you got to hand it to him because in the middle of it, he was able to rewrite his story. He was able to reboot it. And so instead of him coming to the end of his story and being known as murderer or adulterer, he changed his life dramatically. And the end of his story, he was known as a man after God's own heart. It was an incredible shift. But then the passage in Acts, just to get back to this, basically says that when David had fulfilled his purpose, the purpose that God had put him on earth to fulfill, he died. It's kind of bizarre, isn't it? I mean, it kind of makes you want to hang on to the verse that says that God's not finished with me yet. And I mean, maybe the moral of the story is, okay, go do God's work, but don't get it done too quickly, because... But there is this notion that comes from this verse that tells me that God has a purpose for my life that goes beyond me just living out the daily grind, right? And doing what I have to do for my job or what I have to do to support my family. That there really is a greater mission for my life than just being a real estate developer or husband or even father. I mean, many of us are caught in the daily grind and our lives are really just all about the busyness of nothingness, and we never really accomplish anything of any real meaning. Most of us are living unfocused lives without any sense of purpose or direction. And yet the secret of effective living is having a focus and a purpose that is so clear. You know what your genius is. You know what you're about, what you're doing, and where you're headed. Now, let me just say that when we're talking about life's purpose, we're not talking about your role in life, right? Because we all take on different roles in life at different points in our lives. So you may say, you know, I'm a carpenter, or I'm in sales, or I'm a mom. Those are roles that you play at different points. They change, but your life purpose, your genius, doesn't. Those are part of the role in your life, but your life, your genius, is bigger than just that role that you play at different points in your life. The real question is, who or what am I going to live for? And no matter what role I'm playing at any given time, I am still driven by who or what I know that I am living for. What am I going to center my life around? And, you know, there's a lot of options for that. You can center your life around your career or making money or your kids. You could even center your life around taking vacations, right? Going from vacation to vacation. There's nothing wrong with any one of those things at any given time. The issue is when you make it your essence, when you make your life to be about that. None of these things are wrong, but they don't belong in the center. Now, let me just say that finding our purpose is not something that just happens accidentally. I think there's this misconception that as we go through life, one day we're just going to trip and fall on our purpose, and we're going to stumble over it, and we're going to find it, and it's going to be great, and we're going to be in the zone and all that. Not true. Not true at all. It takes time and commitment and work and tenacity to figure it out and then live it out. I mean, take physical fitness, for example. You know, for me, this amazing physique that I have doesn't come easy, right? This chiseled body. I mean, what little chisel I have, it's a lot of work, right? Just to keep it together. And it's not enough for me just to like walk into the gym and kind of stand there and watch everybody work out and just watch my biceps grow, right? It doesn't happen that way. I wish. I gotta lie in a puddle of sweat, like trying to find the motivation for the next set. And, you know, keep it going. It's work. It's hard. It takes time and focus and commitment. And I think the same is true in finding and living out our purpose. It takes commitment and intentionality of how we spend our time, ultimately how we live our lives. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance for us to do." Now, I think this is a wake-up call for a lot of us because it makes it real clear here that we were not created to get ahead in the world. We were not put on this earth to get our piece of the pie, right? To get ours. We weren't created to be takers. God created us to be givers. We were created to contribute back, to do something that's good, something bigger that goes beyond my own self-absorbed life. And that phrase that says we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works makes it abundantly clear to me, at least, that we were created to do good things with our life that serve a purpose, that make a difference. And I think That it's only as we grow in our relationship with Jesus that we can fully understand what it is that we were created to do. Because let's face it, before we get a Christian worldview, we pretty much believe that the world revolves around me. I'm the center of my world. I want to know what the world has to give me. But when we're saved by grace, our eyes are open and we can see so clearly that while we were a bunch of messed up sinners, Jesus still loved us and he died for us. And you just want to spend the rest of your life saying, thank you for saving my rear end from the pits of hell. And that's what the contribution is about. It's about saying thanks. And so doing good works is not a criteria of being saved. You're not saved because you're doing good. Doing good is as a result of the grace of God. People who really get what God has done for them are fundamentally people with a greater sense of joy who are out there making a difference in the world. This verse also tells me that before time began, before you were created, before the Bible says knit together in your mother's womb, that every single one of us was created and we were wired with something in particular to do, some purpose. But the question is what? And I get this all the time. I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm trying to find what God wants for me. Well, the truth is that it's up to you to figure it out. And you're not going to figure it out by sitting there and just hoping that something's going to fall out of the sky on you and go, boom, right? This is what your purpose is. It doesn't go that way. I mean, for me, it took a lot of time when Shelby and I were making a decision to, you know, go into Nicaragua and start Nika Angels. I mean, it was like a full-time job for us, researching and interviewing people and looking at different regions in Nicaragua and figuring it out. I mean, it was a lot of work. It was a full-time job to figure that out. And I have to say that now, I mean, that is really a huge part of who we are and our purpose. It took a lot to figure it out, and it really takes a lot of work to keep it going. I mean, there would be a lot of times when it's a lot easier to jump on a plane and go to some resort and lay on a beach somewhere rather than taking two planes, sit in traffic in Managua, go down miles and miles of really bad dirt roads in order to get to our little spot in Nicaragua and do what we do. It's a lot easier to check out and drink margaritas on the beach, right? But that's not what we believe that God wants us to do. It's not always easy, but we believe it's our genius. And here's what I'm going to promise you. You have one too. There is something that is created in you that is uniquely you, uniquely your purpose. And the question is, are you willing to do the work that it takes to roll up your sleeves and do the work that it takes to figure out what that is for you? It doesn't have to be something on the other side of the world. It can be something that's on the other side of the street. Doesn't have to be something big. It can be something very simple. But I do promise you this. God created you with a purpose, and it changes everything. When you finally figure out what that is for you, when you finally figure out what is your genius, your essence, that's your jam. And you start living in that zone, and there is nothing that is more fulfilling than when you're living in that zone. Understanding clearly what it is that I am living for will not only cause us to understand what we're wasting our time on, but it will also cause us to ask ourselves, is what I am investing my life in, does it have any value that will last beyond the grave? What am I giving my life for, and is it really worth it? The genius of our life, then, becomes when I fully understand who I have been created to be. And I have great clarity about what it is that I am living for. And all of a sudden, when that happens, there is this clear path that lights up in front of me. And I know where I'm headed. And I may veer off from time to time. Lord knows I crash and burn all the time. But I always have the tenacity to get back up, dust myself up, get back on the narrow dirt path, and keep moving forward. That's when we can begin to experience this kind of life that the Bible promises is abundant and fulfilling. And so the question is, are you here? Or are you here? Like, if you were to stop right now, where are you at? We were designed for something more than just this world. And when we figure that out, that's when we can start living here. Because when we truly get that in the scheme of eternity, our existence is no longer than just a blip on a screen, it is only then that we can finally get that to put our hope in the stuff of this world is absolutely meaningless, and it will one day lead to tragedy at the end of our story. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which will lead you to a good and abundant life." I think what that verse is saying when it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world," I really think that it's saying that there are too many of us who live our lives as if it's like a fatalistic roll of the dice. Like, we just allow the daily grind of life to carry us without giving any real thought to direction or purpose, but we just allow the current of the grind to carry us in whatever direction it's going. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is that if you want your story to end with genius, then in order to do that, we're going to need to make some changes. And not just small changes, transformational changes that alters the very essence of who we are, the way we live, and it changes the outcome of your story. And so the question becomes, are we able to stop right now? Hit the pause button. Do an evaluation of where we're at, where we want to be, and put the necessary changes in place today while there's still time. You see, the genius of your life begins when you take control of the things in your life that you have control over. There's a lot that we don't have control over, but there's a lot that we do. I have control over my schedule, my focus, my drive. Figuring out your purpose and letting that drive you with a sense of intentionality and allow it to thrive through everything that you do. I just turned 54 this last year, and you know, I'm starting to become more and more aware of the fact that I don't have like another 50 years probably. So maybe I'm not in the halftime of my life. Maybe I'm in the fourth quarter. I don't know. But as I evaluate that, you know, I've really seen that in my life, I really enjoy more of the simple things of life. I enjoy having a glass of wine with my wife in front of a fire. And I really enjoy the sandhill cranes that are out in front of our house that can fly over our heads and the crazy noises that they make. And it's the simple things. But what I've also made a decision to do this year is to begin to make a plan for how I want to spend the last days of my life and begin to figure out how it is that I can create more capacity to do good, create more capacity to do the things in life that have more meaning and ratchet back the stuff in my life that don't really mean a thing. And I don't know if it'll work, because I'm just kind of making it up as I go. But I do know this. Like, I want to end up my story with something that has real meaning, where my story ends with a life that was well lived, because it was a life that was lived out with pure genius.